thanks for listening to the Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
We're continuing in our series of John, but we're not going to get to John yet. We got one other thing to do. But while we do that one other thing, we got the Bible study thingy. If you want that, they're back there on the two prayer tables. Pick them up. There's some sermon note places and some home note places. I don't know if it's going to be helpful. It was designed and hoped to be helpful. You'll have to let me know. Now, before we get to the teaching, though, we got one bit of business that we got to take care of. We have a new children's pastor, and she is on the job, and I'm going to introduce her and her husband. Mallory and Lucas, come on forward. Mallory and Lucas. We're going to have to find you a microphone. Welcome aboard, Lucas. If you're confused, this one's Lucas, this one's Mallory. We're going to use this microphone right here. Mallory, while I'm grabbing you the microphone, gee whiz, there's all kinds of things. I got a question for you. What are you doing here?
Hello.
There it is.
Oh, you can hear me. Like you said, I am the new children's pastor here. I'm super excited to be here to teach your kids about Jesus and love on them. Yeah.
That's what you're doing here.
That's what I'm
fantastic.
Doing here.
And this is Lucas. Lucas, how long have you guys been married?
We've been married just over 3 years now.
Fantastic. Yep. How long have you been happily married?
just over 3 years now.
All right, that's fantastic.
Good answer.
So last week, Mallory, I told some stories about how Peter got a new name, and I shared up front that I had a nickname or two growing up. Does anybody remember my two nicknames I shared? Stretch was one. Minnow was the other one. Do you have any nicknames in your past, just for these people get to know you, that you can share, Mallory?
I do. I got a nickname at camp. Minnie was the nickname. Minnie. And we had to, share stories of our childhood to get these nicknames. And I shared the story about I was the first one up in my house, and I was getting ready for school one morning, and I went into the attic, which we didn't go in very often, but there was a pile of clothes in there, and I was getting ready, and I stepped on something and didn't pay much attention to it, and then as I was walking out, I realized it was a mouse trap, one of the sticky mouse traps, but it had a mouse on it, and I don't know if the mouse was dead when I stepped on it, but it was certainly dead by the time it got off my foot because I ran through the entire house screaming, kicking, trying to get it off. And my mom was concerned enough to come to the bottom of the stairs and say, are you okay? I'm like, there's a mouse. And so Minnie.
So she got the nickname Minnie.
Minnie.
I assume you don't want the kids to call you that. What do you want the kids to call you?
The kids can call me Miss Mallory.
Miss Mallory works, or Miss yeah. Minnie. If it would.
Miss
Lucas.
Minnie.
Miss Minnie, Miss Mallory, what are these people going to like about this lady? You've been married to her for a while. What are they going to like about her?
I think the main thing is she's very passionate about what she does. And I know it seems pretty cliche, but she does go above and beyond in pretty much everything she does. And she's also very crafty, good at making things, which I'm not, which is pretty awesome, I think.
All right, thank you. So we made a decision back in October to kind of just morph a little bit how we minister to children and families on Sunday morning. Up until this time, we've decided to keep children age-specific teaching for kids on Wednesday night with once a month doing a Grow Kids where kids are dismissed. We've realized that, maybe there's a different way where we can combine that. If that's good for you and your family, keep doing that. But if you're of a mind where you want your really energetic young man, little boy, to have something age-specific during Sunday morning, that's the vision we changed, and that's why we've brought Mallory in. So if you're eager to send your squirmy kids out to do something age-appropriate for them, that's coming. Mallory, how soon? I mean, you're brand new here. You're still figuring it out. We don't have, the clock on you. Hurry up. But how soon can we expect something for children that's a little more on Sunday morning than what we've been doing?
Well, we're in the process of trying to figure that out still, but we are going to probably in the next 6 weeks or so be stepping it up to doing Grow Kids twice a month. And then Hopefully my dream in the next year when that third space is completed and we have a space, we're going to have a complete program for those kids during service. And I don't know what that's going to look like exactly yet, but I'm excited for the kids here at the River to have a place that they feel like is just for them. And that's what I want to create.
Sweet. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So you heard her mention the third space. We're working behind the scenes to figure out how and when we're going to finish that third space. You're telling me that, like, loose boards and, tie rod sticking up and all that stuff's not conducive for kids' space?
Yeah, probably not.
Okay, so we'll be finishing that sometime. We'll let you know when we're figuring that out. Lucas, what are you excited about Kalamazoo?
I think just the kind of the city feel, and we really haven't, we are originally from Howell, so that's not, doesn't have the same feel, and just that kind of thing. There's a lot of cool places to eat around here, and we check those out, and just checking out the town and meeting new people.
All right, thank you. Is there anything else you want these people to know about you on your first public appearance at the River?
I don't think so. Come say hi to us afterwards, and we're going to try and meet all of you and remember your names.
Yeah, and there's her contact info right there. If you want to get in touch with her, if you just reach out, and she's here for you. Do me a favor. Reach your hands out, and let's pray. Lord, we pray a blessing on these two. We pray in the name of Jesus that they would even now begin to hear the whisper of the Spirit say, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, we're thankful for the work they did at the former church. We're thankful that Mallory's had almost 5 years of experience. Pray that that church that she left flourishes in her absence. Do you agree, church? Yeah. Lord, we're thankful that they prepared her, equipped her, and loved her for this time in her life and our lives. Do you agree, church? So we pray, Lord, that you give Mallory vision, pray that you would give her clarity, pray that you would give her favor. Lord, we look to the day when there are people who are eager for their kids to have something Sunday morning, would have that need met. We pray that it would be soon. Do you agree, church? In the name of Jesus, Lord, bless them. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys. So let me review for you what we did last week. Last week we were in John chapter 1. Shock, right? 22 chapters in the Gospel of John. 3 months in, we're still in chapter 1. And we were going to finish up verses 40, 41, and 42. But quite frankly, we only got to half of the sermon last week. And unbeknownst to you, I did you a favor because I stopped the sermon halfway and made that a whole sermon. And today is the second part of last week. Otherwise, we'd have been here till like 12:30 last Sunday. So you're welcome that I did you that favor. Let me review just for a brief second for those of you here. And if you weren't here last week, let me just tell you basically what happened. Last week, we got to the text. The verse 42 was really where we hung our hats, where it says, Jesus looked at him. That's a guy named Simon. And he said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. And I told you that the name Peter in the Greek means what? Rock. Strong name. Jesus saw this dude whose name was Simon. The name Simon, literally in the Greek, do you remember? It means snub nose. It's a good name, Simon. Not a bad name. But when you get a name that has the meaning of rock to it, there's more stability, more purpose, more significance. And we learned last week that in this encounter that Peter had with Jesus, Peter's life took a radical change for the impactful. And we saw just a little bit how when he had an encounter with Jesus, Jesus brought a new name. And in the new name, Simon wasn't yet living like a rock, but he came to live like a rock, and when Jesus gave the man a new name, he called him into a future that was more than the man ever thought he had in store. And then we applied it to us, that God's still in the business of calling people out, giving them new names, new purpose, new significance, new freedom, new impact. And we said very clearly, hey, God wants to give you a new name, and in so doing, call you out into your future. And I gave you homework. And I'm wondering if anybody did the homework. The homework was to take a few minutes just to listen and ask the Lord, Lord, do you have a new name for me? Did anybody, A, actually do that homework? Okay, the rest of you leave. It's not acceptable. Just kidding. Did anybody who did the homework, did you actually hear a new name? Did you hear a whisper from the Lord? Anybody? Well, you've missed your, one person's good. The rest of you missed your chance because that was only assignment for last week. And the window of opportunity for the Lord to call you into more is closed. Turn to your neighbor and say, stinks to be you. Just kidding. Of course, the Lord still wants to speak into you and to call you out into more. So maybe that's the homework you need to sit with for months until you can hear the still small voice of the Lord whisper into your ears and say, you are my, and give you a new name, calling you into greater significance. So that homework still stands. That was verse 42. That's what we did last week. But you know what comes before verse 42? This is not a trick question. What comes before verse 42? Yeah. And what comes before verse 41? There would be no 42 without 40 and 41. You can't just be counting 38, 39, 42. You got to have 40 and 41 in the mix. Before the powerful encounter that changed the man's life and called him into more, a couple things had to happen, and we see those couple things, and this is the rest of the sermon that we skipped last week. Verse 40, Andrew, this is Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Somebody say, John. John the Baptist is who we're talking about here. Here's the deal. Before Peter had his life-changing moment, John had to do his thing. Were there no John, there'd be no Peter. If John wasn't faithful to his call in his moment, some guy named Simon would have gone to the grave with the name of a significance meaning snub nose. Had John not been faithful to speak of Jesus and to point people to Jesus, Peter would have missed his calling in life, and thousands upon thousands of people, maybe millions, would have not met Jesus had Peter not had that change, and he wouldn't have had that change had John the Baptist not done his job. Now, when Rod preached a couple weeks ago, he said something very powerful that stuck with me. See, John the Baptist, he was kind of a good dude, man. He was kind of crazy. He kind of had that unique thing. You know, church people like looking for that unique thing, that different thing. People flock to the new shiny church toy, right? And John the Baptist, man, he was wild. He wore camel hair, had a big beard, and he ate locusts. Something about that guy. And the early century millennials who wanted that new different thing were drawn to him. See, the stuffy old church, they wanted nothing to do with that. But they saw this new John the Baptist, and they were drawn to him. And Rod said this. He goes, John realized that his job was not to make followers who followed him. And he said very articulately, Rod did, he said, we were never made to have followers just to follow us. He said, like John the Baptist, we were made to point to Jesus. And this is where John, in one sense, missed the mark, because had he been smart in marketing, he could have marketed himself. He could have sold John the Baptist t-shirts. He could have had his own line of honey and locusts. Protein and carbs with Jay the Bee. And he could have built his own platform. But had John the Baptist built his own platform, and had he simply made it about himself, this guy named Simon would never have had his life radically changed. So because John, who did have followers, didn't want followers for his sake, rather he wanted followers that he could point to the one he was following, and he said, hey, as you follow me, follow that one. As you follow me, follow that one. John's humility in pointing to the other one and diminishing himself set a man free named Peter. Simon became Peter. I told you this last week, right? And he gave the first Christian sermon. This guy, snub nose, stood up before a group of people, and he, in one sermon, had 3,000 converts come to Jesus. He spoke so clearly of Jesus, of the joy of Jesus, of the freedom in Jesus, that thousands of people in one message came to know Jesus, and it wouldn't have happened had John the Baptist built his own following. He pointed to Jesus. Now, why do I say that? You have to pay attention. Elbow your neighbor and say, pay attention. I say that because, help yourselves pay attention here. Pay attention. Tell your neighbor to pay attention. Pay attention. John the Baptist was not an exception, right? He's an example. And so what John does as a follower of Jesus, we can be assured that the Holy Spirit wants us to do that. So if we simply left the teaching to point at John the Baptist and say, John the Baptist, you did a good job. Thank you, John the Baptist. We're missing the mark. But if we point to the story of John the Baptist, who refused to have his own following, but rather made his following look to Jesus, if we just make it about that, we've missed it, but rather we should make that an example for me and you. So here's the question. Who's going to be your spiritual grandson? Who's going to be your spiritual granddaughter? Somebody a few people away from you that you might not even know is waiting for you to live a life like John the Baptist, speaking of Jesus sometimes with words so that somebody can get free that helps them get free. So who's your spiritual granddaughter? Or your spiritual grandson? The world is waiting for you to do the John the Baptist thing. That's verse 40. What's between 42 and 40? The first thing Andrew did, verse 41, after he had seen this Jesus because of John the Baptist, the first thing he did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." That's the Christ. And he brought his brother to Jesus. Now, to be clear, verse 42 wouldn't have happened without 40. John the Baptist played a huge role in Peter's transformation, but there was a bridge between the gap, and it's called verse 41, and particularly it's called Andrew. You see, there's some people that person who's impacted you cannot reach. You all have somebody that you kind of look up to, right? Somebody that's been like a mentor to you. That person who's mentored you, loved you, helped you grow in Christ, that person can't reach your brother or your sister or your neighbor. But somebody can reach your brother, your sister, or your neighbor. Who is that person? Now, I heard Anna acknowledge the tiredness of the day. But this is too important for me to let me go by. So listen, I'm talking to all of you. Front row, y'all listening? Got me, John? You over here? North section, you guys good? Everybody else in the balcony? Okay, one person in the balcony. Balcony! Everybody point to the balcony and say, "Wake up, balcony." Yeah, point down from the balcony and say, "We're awake, folks." All right, maybe that was a lie. Here's the deal. I want you to get this. Because we've been saying now for years that church isn't the game. It's halftime. This is your halftime speech to get you pumped up to get into the game, to do the work. And the work is for you to bridge the gap from the one who's transformed you by pointing you to Jesus to the one who doesn't know that one, so that that person can meet Jesus and that person can be transformed by Jesus. You need to be about the work of making new followers of Jesus. All of you do. Thank you for clapping, young man. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother. Why did he have to find his brother? Because he and his brother, they were on a journey together. And when he said to his brother, we found the one we've been looking for, he knew that because he and his brother were on a journey together. So I've just told you that you're the ones who are supposed to make new followers of Jesus. You're the ones who are supposed to speak of Jesus to people who don't know Jesus. And so I'm telling you, you do that by doing what Andrew did. Let's just be in the midst of life with people. You don't have to be the next Billy Graham who stands up and preaches at thousands of people. All you got to do is just be you with intent to share the Jesus that you know. He knew that Peter had been searching because he had been in a relationship with him, so he had to find him. So who? So the first thing he did is he found his brother. Who is your Simon Peter? Now, come on, folks. We can't just, you know, look at the clock and say, when he's done. I'm serious on this. You need to answer the question, who is your Simon Peter that you need to go find and point to Jesus? And I'm going to be a little risky on this, and I'm going to get in your business a little bit. If you're a follower of Christ, and this is your church home, if you don't take that question serious, I think you're walking in error. Because if you become a Christian who simply sits in church on a Sunday morning to get a message, to worship a little bit, not realizing that your mission is out there, you're missing the mark. The world needs you to bring Jesus to the world. And it's easy to say the world, and that's why I'm asking you more pointedly, who is your world? Who is your Simon Peter who needs you to bring Jesus to them?
I'm just a teacher.
Yeah, praise God you're a teacher because there's people at your school who need Jesus.
I'm only 9.
Well, praise God you're 9 because 9-year-olds need Jesus too.
I'm just the plumber.
Well, pull up your pants and praise God you're a plumber because people need Jesus in the business world. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. You are the ones that God is calling to reach the lost Simon Peters of the world. Who in the world is your Simon Peter? And if you don't figure that out by this week, I'm saying you're going to miss the mark. Now, if you're a guest and you're not a follower of Jesus, I'm not yet talking to you. But know that if you become a follower of Jesus, he's got a job for you. And it involves people who don't yet know him. We found the Messiah, he said. They were looking for the Messiah. Are you? Are you looking for the Messiah? Or are you just coming to church? This was an era where the bigwigs of the town were religious people who studied about the Messiah, but when the Messiah walked in their midst, they missed him. Because they really weren't looking for the Messiah, they were just simply going through religious motions. Are you looking for the Messiah? He said, we found him, because they were looking. So maybe now's a good time for you to say, you know what, I have been feeling something missing in my life. Maybe now is the time that you have your own Andrew moment, not the Andrew moment where you help Simon come to Jesus, but the Andrew moment where he himself acknowledges that Jesus is the Messiah sent to save humanity from the mess of life. Maybe now is the time that you say yes to Jesus. Maybe. We found him, the Messiah. That's him. And when Andrew named Jesus the Messiah, the biggest truth the world has ever known, boom, was spoken. Jesus was not just the dude. You can't just look at Jesus and say he was a good dude, a good teacher. He claimed himself to be the Messiah. So either he was or he wasn't. And so the eyewitness account is that Andrew saw in Jesus the reality that he was the Messiah. The word Messiah comes from the old Hebrew word, which means anointed one, anointed by oil, anointed by the Spirit, anointed by God, chosen by God to do a particular task. And the Messiah in the Old Testament was the one promised to bring peace and freedom to his people. Did you know that there are 351 verses predicting and prophesying the Messiah in the Old Testament? 351 verses prophesying about this one person who would come, and all 351 of those came true in the man Jesus. We're not just talking about Jesus, a religious person. We're talking about Jesus, the personal God who wants to enter into your world and bring freedom to you where there is a lack of freedom. We're talking about the Jesus who wants to enter your brokenness, who looks at you and says, if you got a pulse. And then he says to you, I don't care about your issues, but you need to admit them because we're going to deliver you from them. We're talking about Jesus, the Messiah who came, who sees your sin and your poor choices and says, yeah, you're dumb, man. You made some bad choices, but you know what? That's not how you're defined. You're defined by my love for you. And if you just come to me, I'll cover all of those things. This is the Jesus we're talking about. We're talking, when Jesus got public, he said, hey, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't say, repent and accept me as your personal Lord and Savior. And then you'll have fire insurance, and when you die, you'll go to heaven. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God didn't come for us just to have fire insurance so that we don't go to hell. He came that we might have life and have it to the full. Abundant life, joyful life, happy life, a life where you can stand up in front of people and say, life stinks today. And then the next week you can say, God answered the prayer and life is great today. This is the Jesus Andrew's pointing to. Do you know this Jesus? Have you been looking for this Jesus, or have you been playing the church game? It's time to quit playing church and get with Jesus, because the world needs you to get with Jesus and needs you to point to Jesus. Y'all all right? So he brought him, his brother, to Jesus. He brought him from this location to come with me. Notice he didn't say, you go over there and you find him. He said, come with me. He brought him. This is how you bring people to Jesus. You just walk with them. Well, I don't have all the answers. I don't know if I could share Jesus with people, because what if they ask questions I don't know? Here's a perfectly fine answer to those questions you don't know. Here it is. You ready? I don't know. You're allowed to say, I don't know. Just bring them to Jesus where they can encounter his love and his mercy, and answers to big questions will come down the road. Just bring them to Jesus. So who is your Simon Peter? Is it somebody who lives in your neighborhood? Is it that kid that you see sitting at that table all alone at lunch? Is it your coworker? Is it your mom? Is it your brother? Who is it who needs you to bring him to Jesus? Now, if you look at the text, you know that it doesn't say, listen to this, it doesn't say he drug him to Jesus. You can't put people who don't know Jesus in a spiritual headlock and drag them. You just got to bring them. If they don't want to go with you, that's fine. They don't have to go, but you got to be willing and ready and always pointing for the moment when they are ready, and then you can bring them. This isn't a strong arming or a manipulation. It's just when they're ready, bring them. But in order for Andrew to bring his brother to Jesus, he had to know where Jesus was. So I've been asking this question in a different way. Let me ask it this way. Do you even know where Jesus is? Do you know where he is? See, the reality is that Jesus is with you through the presence of his Holy Spirit. So really, all you got to do is just be with people. And when you're a follower of Jesus and you're just being with people, you've brought them to Jesus. How many of you have heard the phrase friendship evangelism? Anybody heard that phrase? Let me just have you do this. Everybody say friendship evangelism. Here's what I want you to do with that phrase. Yeah. How about we just try on friendship? Because when you walk into friendship with people, you bring Jesus to people and people to Jesus. If you're walking with the Lord. So he brought him to Jesus. So to be clear, without John the Baptist, there would be no transformation for Peter. And without Andrew, there also would be no transformation with Peter. John the Baptist and Andrew were kind of that Tom and Jerry, that peanut butter and jelly, that 1-2 punch that set somebody free. Our job is to be like John the Baptist and Andrew. Matthew 28:19, Jesus is speaking to his followers. He's speaking to his followers. He's speaking to his followers. Who's he speaking to? And who's a follower of Jesus? Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, you didn't choose me in John 15. But I chose you, and I appointed you to bear fruit, much fruit, fruit that lasts. If you are a follower of Jesus, you've been given a commission, and you've been given the promise and the charge to bear fruit that lasts. Will you do it? You're free. You have joy. The dark days are gone. And when the dark days come again, you can stand a little taller because you got the Spirit with you. These things are true because somebody back in your history was a John the Baptist to the Andrew who changed your life. Will you be a John the Baptist? Will you be an Andrew? Or maybe in our story from John chapter 1, right now you're not called to be Andrew or John the Baptist. Maybe you're Simon. Maybe you've been kind of hanging out with the Andrews of the world and, you know, wondering about, you know, what's this concept of God about? Maybe you're like Simon before he became Peter, and maybe today's the day that you say, you know what, I think I want on board. I want to follow this Jesus that Andrew pointed to. Maybe today's the day that you hop on board and you encounter the Lord and your transformation begins. If today is your day, make sure that you make that choice and tell somebody that you came with or somebody you don't even know and say, you know what, today's my day that I become a Peter. If that is you, does anybody feel like that? Tell somebody and stand up right now. No pressure. Are there any Simons that are being called to be a Peter right now? This is the place where sometimes churches like to manipulate people. We're not doing that. But maybe today's the day that you, Simon, become Peter. That's our buddy Billy. You guys know Billy over there? Billy and Bobby and I just made a video last week that we're going to share with communities of special needs. We'll show you that in the future. John chapter 1, verse 40, 41, and 42. It's available in the back if you want it. Next week, second to last sermon, I think, in John chapter 1. Easter's coming. Maybe that Simon in your life is someone that you need to invite into the presence of Jesus on Easter Sunday, April 1. Be prepared to bring your friends who don't have a church home, don't know about this Jesus. Easter's a great day. If you're a follower of Christ and this is your church home, don't forget your joy boxes. Our prayer team will be right up here. They'd love to pray for you. Have a good week. See you next week.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.